My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I am so happy to be with you today. I hope that you are thriving wherever you are. So we are episode 3 into our Healing Love Addiction series here. So we are revisiting some of our most important topics in relation to our series topic, which right now is love addiction. I said before, I have a few other series that we're going to take a deep dive in. And I was thinking about it. I didn't do as good of a job to say, what are we doing to actually work through this in the previous episode? So outside of me just batching these together for you, right, and putting like the greatest hits regarding the topic of the series, there are worksheets available for each one of the episodes. So almost 300 episodes of the podcast, there are worksheets available that go over the main points of the episode. There are healing challenges and healing circle discussion questions for those of you who have friends, who have mothers and sisters, who have people that you talk about the podcast episodes with. That is also within the worksheet, and then also a challenge. So for every, you know, I'm always giving you a charge. I'm always telling you these are your next steps. This is top 3 things for you to know, right? And so there's a challenge for each one of the episodes within the worksheet for you to take and move forward. And then also within the members club, which is where all the worksheets are housed, you are able to have discussion, chat with me, chat with other folks in the community about what you're learning. So if you want to go outside of or go deeper into learning about the things here, you can join me at the members club at blackgirlsheal.org/members. You can join there and cancel anytime, but just know that is the extra resource. So today we are, like I said, episode 3 into the love addiction series, and we're talking about fantasy today. Fantasy is one of the most common denominators when it comes to love addiction, and very rarely do we just focus on it all on its own, but it is the main culprit. You know, we stay with people, we stay in toxic relationships with folks because of the fantasy of who they could be, of what this relationship could be, and we are telling ourselves while we're in the middle of this visualization that it's actually not fantasy. This is real, because you see the potential, because you love how good it feels together, because they've said things that are the promises that you've had deep into your heart. And so hearing someone say it out loud and get a semblance of it, you have convinced yourself that this is real, but only it's actually just crumbs. It's actually just a piece or a corner of what you've been dreaming for. And sometimes it's not even what you wanted at all, but is giving you the feelings of what you thought getting what you want would give you. So you're willing to sacrifice yourself. You're willing to bypass things. You're willing to give people chances that you normally wouldn't have. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about what happens when we set unrealistic fantasies as a love addict. And so how we can work through that, right? Some things to keep in mind when that is our MO. All right. So we're going to go ahead and jump on in, as always, since this is a recap from topics we talked about before. There may be another mini intro that says some of what I just shared here with a little bit more. So that may happen right after the jump, but it's going to be good. So let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
Hey ladies, welcome, welcome. I am going to teach you a short masterclass on a PDF that I got in the email about how to break your own heart. So this video is going to be about making sure that you don't set yourself up to have a broken heart based on too high of expectations. Okay, so if that sounds like something you need, stay here, because that's what we're going to talk about. little background before I get into it. So I made a TikTok about this already. So, but this is going to be an extended version of me saying all the things that I couldn't say in 3 minutes. But I got this email from the site We Are Not Really Strangers. For those of you who don't know, it's a company that produces discussion cards. So you can use the discussion cards to get closer to friends, lovers, family members. They have decks for everything. They even have self-love cards for you to ask yourself questions. So I ordered a deck. So it adds me to their mailing list. And so I get emails every couple of days. And one email said, I made a presentation for you. And it just had this as an attachment. And when I tell you, I looked at it and I was like, oh, it hit me right when I needed it. Cause I was setting myself up to have a broken heart. I was actually breaking my own heart already. And so I immediately made a TikTok, and this is something that y'all need to know as well. So let's talk about it. First, I'm going to go over how do you break your own heart according to We Are Not Really Strangers. Number one, set expectations for someone that they can't live up to. Number two, place that person on a pedestal, but don't tell them you put them there. Number three, fall in love with the version of them you created in your head. Number four, blame them for not being that person. Number five, then blame yourself for falling for them anyways. And then repeat the cycle. So, even though I talk about romantic relationships, we can set ourselves up for high expectations for other people, put them on pedestals, no matter what the relationship, whether or not it is a family member, a friend, a woman or a person we really want to be a good friend, or a person that's been a friend to us before, a boss or a coworker, and hoping for them to be this person, our models, our role models, our idols, celebrities, people that are human, that we really want to be this inhuman entity that never harms us, that never does anything wrong. And when they don't show up to be that person, we get brokenhearted. Now, before I go further with what I just said, I want to make something very clear. This is not me campaigning for you to say, well, everybody's human, so I really can't have standards for myself. And, you know, I should just take people where they are, even when it's emotionally, mentally, sexually, physically, financially dangerous to myself. No, never, 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 ever, ever, ever is that going to be what I'm trying to communicate to you. When people are around you and in your inner circle, friendship, lover, even family, y'all, to be in your energy is a privilege. It's a privilege because you're special, because you're a treasure, because you're wonderful. And they're treasures and they're wonderful too. But that doesn't mean that you make yourself small. It doesn't mean that you deny intuitive feelings that are saying, I don't like how this makes me feel. I don't like that this makes me feel forgotten, that this makes me feel overlooked, that it makes me feel drained, right? We always need to pay attention to how we feel in other people's presence. And if they mark all those boxes that something isn't right, or that they're unavailable to show up and be mutual with us, we have to pay attention to that and either create distance with that person fully, or create a lot of space until they show that they can actually be safe for us. But what I am about to talk about here is people that there are green flags. We like them. We want to get closer to them. Maybe we've been close to them in the past, you know, and these are the people that we want to move forward with. This still applies, because sometimes it's not even that people will disappoint us. Sometimes, according to what this is saying, we will make this unrealistic standard of perfection up for people. And then when they fall short, it causes resentment, it causes bitterness, it causes broken hearts, because we weren't practicing seeing them for who they are, not who we want them to be. Okay, so here's the first one, setting expectations for someone that they can't live up to. I am going to use dating examples going forward for this, but please feel free to use this for whatever relationships pop up in your mind that this brings forth for you. So set expectations for someone that they can't live up to. So you're dating someone. They are wonderful. Y'all have the same sense of humor. Y'all have the same values. They care about the same social issues. Maybe y'all come from the same culture, or if you're from a different cultures, they are aware of your culture and they are respectful and they are doing their own internal work about it, whatever it might be, right? Things are just clicking, clicking, clicking. But then you find that maybe they have problems with communication. Maybe they say things like they really want to communicate, but they're not able to. Maybe they have trust issues and commitment. Even though y'all are hitting things off and y'all are having such a great time, they're honest and forthright about how they have a problem trusting people and staying around because it just makes them nervous for whatever reason. Whether or not those are their exact words, it's a paraphrase of it, right? Maybe this is very common with the women that I support. Maybe you are dating someone and they are not as successful as you. And they maybe have a lot of dreams and ambitions that they talk to you about, right? And so you're like, oh, well, I'm ambitious and I know things. I can just tell them a couple things and I can help them out, right? Each of these three examples. The first one, they tell you they can't communicate. An example of setting up expectations for them that they can't live up to is you say, well, this is them communicating and I can have patience for them and, you know, it's okay. Is it really okay? Also, is there a part of you that's hoping that by them being around you by osmosis, they'll become more willing and able to communicate? Is this you setting up expectations for them that down the road you'll progress to be at a place where y'all can go deeper, even though they've already told you that they can't, right? And you may know that, yeah, with like therapy or help or something, you could, but what they're telling you is today where they are right now, they can't. They can't, they don't want to, whatever it is, they're not. That's not who they are. Same thing with trust issues person or a commitment person, right? You're hoping, you might even tell yourself, I think a lot of times, depending on what stage of life we're in, it's the same output, but just different reasons. Sometimes people are like, you know what, I'm at a stage where I just want to have fun. So even though they say they don't really care about commitment, I'm going to keep moving forward because I want to enjoy myself. Some people are very much in the codependent phase, even though they don't call it codependence, but they're like, well, there's just no way. Like the chemistry, the intensity, just like how we get each other. I hear you, but I don't believe it. So you stay because you have feelings for this person and you're getting a lot from it. It's not even that you're trying to fix them or change them. This is just as pleasurable to you, right? So you stay. And then the third one, the ambition thing, right? You are saying, well, they say they have dreams and all these things where I can help or I can point them in the right direction or, you know, I can help them with interviews or whatever else. And you do whatever it is that you do, whatever the person is saying that they just need help with or that they have dreams about. You come and you show up, but you're setting yourself up for expectations for this person to be someone that they are not. With this last example, is it that they are not capable of achieving all their goals? Absolutely not. Anybody can do whatever they put their mind to. It is possible for anyone to achieve their dreams. But if they are someone who second guesses themselves, if they're someone who has low self-esteem, if they're someone who has trouble taking ownership and accountability in this area of their life, even if they have everything on fire and thriving in other areas of their life, but this is the area that they struggle in, you are setting them up to be someone they're not because this is their thorn to bear. This is how they are showing up. And maybe it gets resolved in life and through time and through maturity, and maybe it doesn't. Maybe with this last example, they end up being someone who is working or not working at places until their later age. But that's their journey to walk.
If you've ever listened to an episode of Black Girls Heal and thought, that was powerful, but now what? BGH Members Club is for you. Inside, you'll get ad-free bonus episodes and an archive library of all of our current episodes without ads as well, in-depth worksheets for every topic we cover, and special drop-in lessons to help you actually apply what you're learning. This is your space to reflect, grow, and make real changes in your healing journey. Join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members and take the next step towards becoming your healthiest version of you. Have you ever had one of those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure out why?
I've definitely had my fair share, and I totally get how frustrating it can be. And recently, I learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep, it's actually more hormones that are at play. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy, and you just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz myself, and it gave me a personalized insight into what might be happening with my hormones so that I can start to do better. And the quiz suggested that I have symptoms that may align with having high estrogen, which is one of many hormones that Hormone Harmony can help to regulate. Hormone Harmony's herbal formula doesn't just help with estrogen, though. It assists with testosterone, and it also helps with stress hormones such as cortisol, which we all know can wreak havoc on the nervous system and everything it's connected to. Though big changes often help, smaller habits like taking supplements, like Hormone Harmony, can offer a huge impact as well. Taking care of your hormones is about investing in your long-term health. If you don't know where to start, take their free hormone quiz and you'll learn more about your hormone balance and how you can make small, intentional changes to support your body. And whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, this quiz helps to guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. If you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today. And for a limited time, you'll also get 50% off your entire first order with my code BGH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BGH for 15% off today.
All that to say, this first one, number one, can you see someone for exactly who they are and what they're able to give and what they say that they have to contribute or not contribute right now versus what you want it to be? Number two, place them on a pedestal, but don't tell them you put them there. So already in the first one, I kind of already alluded to this a lot, right? Like a lot of this is stuff that we do in our head. I think these days many of us have a more balanced perspective of work, but I'm going to tap into my younger years where I was a little bit more idealistic at work, and I'm sure other people can relate to this. But you have a really great boss. They're super open. They're super chill. They are really great at boundaries. They put people in their place that you see are slacking, and they're also there at all other times, right? So you're like, this is the boss. This is the supervisor. This is the person I've been waiting for, right? So they have a pedestal, and maybe you don't say it, but you just really look up to them, or at least you really appreciate them. So then what happens? And this is kind of going into the other ones, but I'm going to go with this example for now. What happens when the boss needs to speak for the company and the boss needs to do something that just doesn't fit right with you? Maybe because it's what the company says, maybe it's because of the position they put themselves in or that the job puts them in, whatever it is, the output is, I don't like it. And it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, right? Instead of knowing that this person who I really like and admire is going to have good days and going to have bad days. But when you put people on pedestals, they're only allowed to be perfect in your mind all the time. And when they fall less than perfect, you're ready to get rid of them. This is how we end up cutting off people, because we make up stories in their head about who they're supposed to be. So when they let us down, they are literally betraying us. They are betraying us, but they're not betraying us on any agreed upon compromise that we shared. We created a whole story and narrative in our head about what they should do and what they could do, and they would never do this to me, and they would never say this, and this could never happen. They never told you that. There was no contract that wrote up to that. That's what you hoped it would be, and you got grounded in that. And then life happened, right? Which is another reason why it's important for us to go to number one. Can we set up expectations based on who someone is and based on the role and the responsibility that they have in our life, right? As a romantic partner, it is not their job to fix all of our holes inside of us. Now, if we pick right and if we're fortunate enough to find our soulmates and love of our lives, those type of relationships do provide so much healing and so much joy and so much safety and so much security. And it's really magic. And that doesn't prohibit or prevent us from having to do this deep internal work, that the wounds that started before that person was there, that's based on how we think about ourselves and how we feel about ourselves, all of that is about our own internal process. It has nothing to do with external factors. It has everything to do with my relationship with me, your relationship with you. So can we set up romantic partners to not be fix-alls? Can we set up supervisors and managers to not be messiahs? Can we set up girlfriends and people who come into our lives to not, even if we have a sister relationship, for them to not be the perfect best friends at all moments, because they have their bad days. They have their things that they go through. They have postpartum depression. They have divorce. They have periods. They have layoffs. They just have low energy. They have whatever they have going on that they also need to go through. And so is this a mutual relationship? Number three, I've already been talking about this. Fall in love with the version of them you created in your head. And you are operating off of the narrative of what, who they are, your relationship, the story that you told yourself about what this would be. And you are committed to this fantasy. You're committed to who this person could be, who you want them to be, the small glimpses of them that you've seen. That's the other thing that I don't think I talk enough about. A lot of these times we're not creating it out of air. We're creating it from moments that we see. We're creating them from real conversations that we've had. And so instead of us looking at it from saying, instead of seeing that, okay, this was a moment in time, this is not how it always is. This is not how it always is because I haven't seen it. And also they told me this is not how it always is, right? We can take those moments and say, oh, well, but there's hope. And what you want to do is build hope with the version that's actually real. Is it possible for who this person is in front of me to be my best friend? Is it possible for the person who's in front of me to be my mentor? Is it possible for them to be my lover and, you know, co-parent or whatever with me? I want to say something about the mentor thing. I used to have, you know, I work with women. And so our mother wounds show up in so many areas, right? In our romantic relationships, in our friendships, in our relationships with our own mothers, with our daughters, or with other women around us. And for sure with the maternal figures that we attach or don't attach to. And I remember I had one student who told me one time, and I can't remember who it was or how long ago it was, but we were talking about her mentor and how her mentor that she really loved and respected got really nasty and negative with her and started to become really competitive and almost basically tried to sabotage her. And, you know, just like being really snarky and mean. And we talked about it and it come to find out this woman was already kind of like this, but with other people. And sometimes we can feel like we are exempt from being on the receiving end of the anger, the rage, the bitterness, the gossip, the unfairness, the cheating, the infidelity, the stinginess, the whatever, right? That because this person is telling me about what happened with them, they would never treat me this way. And I have eyes open, so I'm going to pay attention to it. If someone shows you who they are, believe it. If someone tells you who they are, believe it. It doesn't mean you have to say that they're a bad person, but you want to see their character and then make decisions from there. So this person was more willing to or more able to ignore that because part of her trauma and her mother wounds was from a mother who was very critical, very abusive, very competitive with her, very narcissistic. And so she had a slew of older woman mentors who were very much like her mother, or teachers at school that she would get closer to who were like her mother. Right? And just repeating that trauma, okay? Instead of seeing them for who they actually were, okay? Going to the next one, blaming them for not being the person that you want them to be. So, here's a couple of things. When someone really hurts you and is emotionally, mentally, physically, sexually, financially dangerous to you, spiritually dangerous to you, there's there is space to hold them accountable for those actions. If you set yourself up to get closer to someone and to make them have this amount of power and influence and, you know, just energy over you, we got to kind of look at not blaming you, because that goes into the next one. We're not blaming ourselves, but we need to look into awareness of, okay, how did I get here? What was I trying to get from this person that, one, I didn't know how to give to myself? Two, I didn't have words for maybe that this is the need. Because a lot of times we go into this stuff blind. We don't realize that we're putting people on pedestals until later on. And to the point of this this PowerPoint that we are not really strangers sent, we repeat the cycle. So we go through life thinking, oh, okay, well, it's just this situation. It's just this person. It's just this, instead of realizing, okay, I'm constantly deifying people. Why do I do that? Is there a certain type of person that I deify? Because maybe you have really great boundaries with other groups of people, but there's a certain type of person, there's a certain type of relationship that's your kryptonite. That's kind of your go-to for hoping that this is going to make me feel insert way you want to feel, right? We have to be mindful to not blame the person who struggles with communication for not communicating with us 4 months down the road when they told us they couldn't communicate and they didn't know how to communicate and they didn't really want to communicate from the beginning. We're the ones who picked them up as a project. This one might be a little sore for me because the sentence that I want to say, I'm going to say it, but I might backpedal a little bit. The sentence I want to say is we can't blame the person who we date for 8 months without a title, without a commitment, because we really enjoy them. And then when they say they want to break it off or that we're getting too close, we can't blame them for breaking it off when they told us that they didn't want commitment from the first place. My addendum or my caveat to that is in that situation, that person knows. That person knows your feelings. Y'all most likely have talked about this, and they kept you going, and they set you up to have a broken heart. So that situation I feel like is both sides, but you get the point. What was the last example I gave? Oh, the person who is not ambitious and is a project, right? You kind of have a Bob the Builder thing going on with them. Getting frustrated with them that they're not keeping jobs, that they always have an excuse, that they're always playing the victim and all that stuff. That is a story that they have been walking in before you got there. You wanted to make them the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And of course, that's an exaggeration, but you get what I'm saying. We got to look at why I did that. And then also the next thing that happens is we blame ourselves for falling for them anyways. I think there's a lot of shame that comes up with these things, especially the examples that I just listed. I mean, those are real examples that I hear all the time. So a lot of times people are like, especially if you've been doing your recovery work, it's like, oh, how could I should know better and all that stuff. And y'all, life, sometimes we just don't know things until we experience them. Like, kind of like there's a difference between reading a book about how to ride a bicycle, and you can read all the books you want and watch all the YouTube tutorial videos and all the things, but it's not until you actually start to ride the bike that you're like, oh, there's still a whole lot to learn. This is so much different than what I thought it would be, right? And I think that's what it is with a lot of our life lessons. Like, we have to ride the bike to figure out how to have balance, to figure out how it feels when we fall down, learning how to get back up and not say, fuck bikes, I'm never going to ride a bike again. Because once we actually learn how to do it, it's so worth what's on the other side of it, you know? And then again, repeat the cycle. So what we want to do is we want to break the cycle, y'all. We want to start from here, start from the beginning, to see people for exactly who they are, not who we want them to be. And know that we don't have to, I said this already in this video, but I want to say it again. I think some of us don't know how to do that. We either hate people or we glorify and we deify them in their own pedestals and they're the most perfect people in the world. We have this black and white mentality when it comes to people. Well, we need to come to a place of balance. We need to learn how to see the humanity and the flaws and the imperfections of people, but still be able to love them through it. and still be open to love when they're healthy. Okay, remember, this is not me saying to see the flaws in a narcissist and be like, well, you can't really expect anything, or to see the flaws in a perpetual cheater and say, well, you know, I can still love them through this. No, girl, go back to the beginning and listen to this again. This is all about holding what is it that I need that makes me feel safe. And this is a person that can give this to me. Okay. All right. I hope y'all enjoyed this. And yeah. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Black Girls Heal. If this episode helped you in any way, please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with someone you love. And if you're ready to go deeper and turn what you're learning about here into real life change, join us inside the BJH Members Club. You'll get ad-free bonus episodes, powerful worksheets about every topic we discuss here, and exclusive lessons to help you apply the healing tools we talk about. You can join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members. And as always, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week.